Chances are that if you work in Hawaii, you don't get a paper check at the end of each pay period. According to the Hawaii Bankers Association, about 85% of all employees in Hawaii are paid by direct deposit, which is why a bill to sync reality with the language of Hawaii law about payment of wages is scheduled for decision-making today. It's not just about electronic funds transfers or pay cards. It's about everything. The American Payroll Association has offered its comments about the latest version of the bill. The organization's government relations director, Bill Dunn, joins us now by phone from his office in Virginia. Good morning.
Hi, Bethann. How are you?
I'm doing all right, thanks, and thanks for making time for us today. Now, for the fact that we have so many people who are already paid through some electronic means, largely direct deposit, are you at all surprised that this bill has gone through so many revisions?
Well, I'm happy that it's gone through the revisions that it has, because when it started, the bill was really just terrible. You mentioned that about 85% of Hawaiian residents are getting paid by direct deposit, and that correlates with the national average. But in Hawaii, there are about 17,000 unbanked households, which means that in the entire household, nobody has a bank account. And then there are another 90,000 underbanked households, which means that even though people might have a bank account, they're not relying on traditional financial services. Instead, they're going to alternative financial institutions like payday lenders and check cashers and pawn shops. And interestingly enough, the CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, just released a report this morning that said what so many of us already suspected, that people who frequent payday lenders are ending up in a cycle of debt that they just have a lot of trouble getting out of.
And we've been hearing about that for quite a while, that it's structured in such a way that you indebt yourself even more as you go along.
Right, exactly. So the original bill, it was really surprising that the original bill would have banned payroll cards altogether. And we didn't understand why that would be, because we didn't hear any hue and cry in Hawaii over any abuses of the cards. But these cards provide a real service for those unbanked and underbanked households. And nationally, only about 1.5% of all payroll is paid through a payroll card. But the people that are using those payroll cards find it to be a real benefit. It's much less expensive. It's much more convenient than a paper check. And that's the alternative we're talking about, not direct deposit, but paper checks, because most employers would prefer to pay people through a direct deposit, but you simply can't do that if somebody doesn't have a bank account.
Right, but none of this is compulsory that someone only have a pay card. It's just out there in the portfolio of ways in which someone might be paid.
Exactly. In fact, it's illegal to tell an employee that they have to take their pay in a pay card.
At this point, trying to get all the definitions right, even having to have a definition for electronic transfer, is that because we are so woefully behind the times with what's really happening in most offices?
Well, I'm not so sure about that. But the terminology, I don't even know how to answer that question.
Well, because if you look at the latest version of the bill, I mean, the clarity with which simple things like electronic funds transfers and the definition of a pay card, what really constitutes a pay card, what is the body that's issuing that pay card, all of those things, the real nitty-gritty of it that keeps becoming more and more specific in this particular version of the bill might suggest that there really isn't an understanding of what should constitute the right kind of pay card, or that this is in fact a good way to go.
Well, you really hit on something there, because this bill has gone through a number of revisions. It went, the initial version of the bill would have banned the use of payroll cards. And so we wrote to the legislature and said that there was a real problem with that, that it was tantamount to banning prescription drugs because some people are drug abusers. or, you know, banning all bank loans because someone might violate the usury laws. So that was rewritten in the House, and so that was an improvement, but it ended up being, you know, like putting lipstick on a pig, because what they ended up doing was writing the bill in such a way that pay cards would be usable, but no employer would want to use them. They put in some really restrictive provisions, like the employers would have to pick up all of the fees that an employee might incur, which is, it was just a provision that no employer would go with. So we convinced them to, and when I say we, it's not just the American Payroll Association, but there are other groups also that were trying to craft a good bill here. And so the bill was rewritten again, and the bill that came out of the House seemed to be a bill that was workable. It would allow payroll cards, it would grant consumer protections, and it really seemed to be something that employers could would find usable. Then it went over to the Senate, and the Senate is going to have a hearing on the bill today. And the Senate couldn't leave well enough alone. They managed to insert some language into the bill that to my view, really mucked it up again.
What part specifically is, in your mind, the muck-up?
Well, most specifically, there's some language in the bill that says that an employee needs to be able to withdraw all of their funds 3 times a pay period. And what they meant to do...
Without incurring any fees. I mean, that's where the fee thing was attached to it, wasn't it?
Well, the thing is, language is very specific, and words, you know, I'm sure you recognize, words mean something very specific, and we're writing a law, so we need to be very careful about the words we use. What this would have required is that an employee be able to withdraw their entire pay 3 times a week. Well, logic says you can only withdraw all of your pay once a week, because after that, you don't have any pay left, unless the employer is required to then pay all of the pay again and then do it a third time. So if language like that, where you think, all right, this just doesn't work. There was another section where something very specific, the legislators wanted to say that if you offer payroll cards, then the employer needs to also offer direct deposit and a paycheck. But instead, they wrote or. Instead of and, they wrote or. And something very small like that has a huge legal implication. So it's just interesting that, well, in another instance, I'm going to pile on here. The Senate wants every employer to replace these cards every year, and they want to make sure that the replacements are provided before the card expires. Well, you know, just like the credit cards in your wallet, these cards don't expire every year. So it creates a burden on employers to replace a card every year when the card could be good for 2, 3 or more years. And so what we end up with is a bill that came out of the House perfectly fine and then got to the Senate. Mm-hmm. And it's clear that the people drafting the Senate version don't understand how these cards work. So they're trying to legislate something they don't understand, and that is a pretty serious problem.
Well, and some would say that is an issue that lawmakers deal with a lot because they can't know about everything, but the people to whom presumably they would turn to be able to craft a piece of legislation that would be workable in reality may or may not be happening in the way that you would suggest it should. This piece that's going to get looked at later on this morning, from what you've said, your opinion would be that this should be looked at again, that we need another revision?
We do. Clearly, there are some sections in it that were miswritten, that it's clearly something that the Senate did not intend, so they need to clean up the language because no one wants to see this language end up in the law. And so then when they do that, it'll go back to the House, and you know, they'll work out the differences. And in the end, I'm very hopeful that we will end up with a bill that protects consumers and that is written in a way that employers are going to find easy to comply with.
And that will definitely help those who are underbanked. Mr. Dunn, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Bill Dunn is the Director of Governmental Relations for the American Payroll Association. He advocates on behalf of payroll professionals before state and federal legislatures and government agencies. The Senate Committee on Consumer Protection is set to make a decision on HB 1814 later this morning. You can have a look at the bill and the language for yourself on Facebook at Hawaii Conversation.